If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Revelation. Book of the Revelation, chapter number 22. Revelation chapter number 22. Closing out book. Closing out chapter. Closing out verses of God's word revealed to mankind. Now, the Lord did not tell man everything that he knows, but he told man everything that we need to know in order for us to make it safe home. There's some things that He's revealed to us, and some things that will be revealed when we get into glory. But Revelation chapter number 22, and I want to just begin reading verse number 1. Revelation 22, verse number 1. The scripture says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it," this is talking about New Jerusalem, in case you hadn't already realized that, "in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face." What a blessing that's going to be. "They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light. They shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold," here's the words of Christ, "behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." And he says again in verse number 12, "And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." And then I want you to just skip for the sake of time to verse number 20, where he says, "He that testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly." I want to preach this morning on the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he says in verse number 7, repeats identically in verse number 12, and says again in verse number 21 or verse number 20. He says, "Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly." There is something about the note of those words that just rings the heart of a child of God. Christ Jesus is coming, and he is coming again, and he is coming for the bride, the church of the living God. But as a lost person, there was something about those words that shook my very being. "Behold, I come quickly." Because the reality is, if he were to come right this very moment, there are individuals who are not ready for his coming. And I want to look at just a few things this morning that we find in the Word of God in this chapter about "Behold, I come quickly." And that word "behold" that Christ chose here before he said, "I come quickly," it is, the idea is to fix our eyes upon, to pause everything that we're doing and give close attention to what it is that follows this word "behold." What is it that follows that? He said, "I come quickly." I want to just look at a few things that he says about "behold, I come quickly." First of all, I want you to notice, it is a fitting conclusion. This is the closing out chapter. This is the closing out book. These are the closing out words of our Lord Jesus Christ. The very first chapter of the Word of God in Genesis, it says, "In the beginning, God." And here we find in the closing out book, we find that our Lord Jesus Christ himself has much to say, and it is much to say about himself. There are 10 things, in fact, that he points to in these verses about himself. In verse number 12, he says about himself, I come quickly. He also says, I have a reward in verse number 12. In verse 13, he says, I am Alpha and Omega. What is Alpha and Omega? In the Greek alphabet, it is, if I were going to say in English, he is saying, I am A and I am everything between A and Z. He said, I am everything that you need from start to finish. And he goes on in verse number 13 to say, I am beginning and I am the end. He's basically saying, I'm the God of creation and I am the God who is going to bring everything under my judgment when everything winds up in eternity future. In verse 13, he continues by saying, I am first and I am the last. He says, there's nobody that was before me and there's nobody that's going to stand in authority after me. He goes on to say in verse number 16, he calls himself, he said, I, Jesus. Then he continues by saying, my angel. And he continues by saying, I am the root and the offspring of David. He reminds us that he is the root. He is the one from whom everything comes out of. And then he reminds us by saying, I am the offspring of David. He reminds us that he was brought into this world a virgin-born son of God, lived a perfect life, went to Calvary, laid down his life on Calvary, provided his precious blood that man might be saved. And then he continues on in verse number 16 by saying, I am the bright and the morning star. He is so bright that we find here in Scripture that there is no need of the sun in glory because the Lamb is the light thereof. And he lights up everybody that's ever walked in darkness that will ever be saved. He is the light that you and I are able to walk in this world that we're in. He continues in verse number 20 saying about himself, surely I come quickly. That word surely means it is firm, it is set in stone. There is absolutely no doubt that he, Christ Jesus, is coming again. And I think about that and I think what a fitting conclusion that Christ would point everything in the age that is to come. He would point it all to him who did it all for you and I. And thank God, what a fitting conclusion in that age that is to come. All attention is on Christ himself. In fact, in the first chapters of Revelation, they're looking around for somebody that's worthy. And they said, I don't find anybody that's worthy to open the book. And he said, I looked, and behold, he said, a lamb. And there it was, Christ Jesus being the only one that was worthy to open up the book of life. And what a privilege that you and I have to come. And he's given us the privilege to look in on that which we're going to look on for all of eternity. As I saw George and Christine sitting back here this morning, Brother George told me just a year or so ago, maybe it's made probably longer than that, maybe 2 or 3 years, he had the privilege to go back down to Jamaica where he was at before they went over to Haiti. And he said when he got there, he was there in Jamaica in the town where they had first started their ministry. He said a young lady came up to him, and in case you don't know this, they were ministry to the deaf. And he said a young lady came up to him who was deaf, and she began doing sign language and said, is your name George? And he signed back to her, yeah, that's me. And he said, when she found out who I was, he said the tears began streaming down her face. And she started signing back to him and saying, I just want to thank you. And you know what? She didn't thank him for purchasing shoes to put on her feet or for clothes on her back. She said, I want to thank you for being the first one that ever told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, as I thought about that, aren't you glad that one day somebody pointed you to Christ himself? Somebody pointed you to the only hope of our soul. And I thank God, what a fitting conclusion we find here in Revelation chapter 22, the closing out day. It is all centered upon
Christ Jesus our Lord. But then I want you to notice not only the fitting conclusion that it all centers around Christ, but notice with me the final consummation. When He brings everything to final completion, everything that He purposed to do, He did on the cross. And He did it that you and I might have life and have life more abundantly. But He has still let time continue and give up those that are lost a chance to be saved. But there is coming a day of final consummation when time as we know it shall be no more. And when that final consummation comes, when this age that we know as time passes into an eternal state, there are some things that are going to come to pass in final consummation. What are they? He let John get a glimpse of what's going on in yonder's world. And he begins in verse number 1. And he says, "He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb." That sounds awfully good to my soul this morning. But I'm glad one of these days, when that day of final consummation comes, you and I, who are the redeemed of God, are going to get to see that with fresh, new eyes, sinless eyes. We're going to get to look upon His throne and see the river of life coming out of the throne of the Lamb of God. What a day that's going to be. But look what He says in verse 2, "In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare manner of fruits, 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." And listen at this. I love what verse number 3 says. "And there shall be no more curse." I cannot hardly imagine such a day, but thank God that day's coming where there's going to be no more sin. There's going to be no more sorrow. There's going to be no more separation. Thank God. What a day that's going to be, when there will be no more things that cause pain, that cause suffering, that cause disappointment, that cause separation. I mean, if I could think of things in this life that cause you and I the most pain, every bit of it is caused by sin. I love a gathering just like we're gathered together this morning. But you know, there's folks who are not in our midst this morning that are already gone on to another country. And the pain of that separation when we get to yonder's world will be no more. There will be no more curse. And a whole lot of is wrapped up in that one phrase. You think of every bit of pain that is caused by sin, it will simply be gone. There will be no more curse. But he continues to say, "But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see," listen at this, "they shall see His face." Don't you long to see the one who came to this world and laid down His life, and He endured the pain of sin? He never sinned, but He endured the pain that is caused by sin and suffered the wrath of God, that you and I may not have to suffer the wrath of God. Don't you look forward to seeing His face? It's been a privilege of ours. We've gone to Washington a couple of times, and I got just a glimpse of the president. There's something in me got excited about that. But you know what has happened to every president that has ever served this nation? I mean, sitting in such a seat of power. We've watched President Reagan, his health kind of deteriorated, and he slipped on off the scene. It breaks my heart to see the older President Bush right now and his declining health. But the reality is, men who right now sit in power, one day their power is going to be diminished and they're going to be no more. But aren't you glad there's one sitting upon the throne of glory, and His power will never be diminished? And thank God one of these days we're going to see Him face to face. And that excites my heart this morning to think one of these days we're going to drop this robe of flesh. We're going to get rid of the curse that's provided by sin. And we're going to see Him face to face. The veil is going to be removed. We're going to see Him in all of His glory. And it says, "And His name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no more night there. What a day that's going to be. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them their light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And look what happens in verse number 8. It says, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel." I can see old John realizing that one of these days the curse is going to be gone. Realizing that one of these days he's going to be able to see Jesus face to face. And it's almost more than his heart can take. And he falls down and just wants to worship. But what happens? What does the angel say in verse number 9? The angel said to me, "See, thou do it not." And the angel basically says, "Get up from there, boy." He said, "Don't fall down before me to worship." And in the end of that verse, what does he say in the end of verse 9? He simply says, "Worship God." He said, "Don't thank me for it. You can thank the one who made the heavens. You can thank the one that sent his son to die. And thank God at final consummation, what a day it's going to be for the redeemed." But he has something else to say for those who are not saved. What does he say? Look at verse number 12. We find these are the words of Christ himself. He says, "And behold, I come quickly." I remember when I was lost, hearing that almost made me shudder right there in my seat. He said, "And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." And then he says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city." Listen at this next verse. That what we've already looked at, or what is inside the gate. I wonder this morning, could you raise your hand and say, "I'm going to be inside the gate"? Amen. Everybody that's in the house of God that knows you're saved, you're going to be inside the gate. Thank God one of these days we're going to see the throne. We're going to get to see Christ. We're going to get to see all this that he's described. But he has a stark contrast in verse 15. He says, "For without, on the outside of the gate, but without the city are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." But then he says, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root of and the offspring of David, and the bride and the morning star." We see this fitting conclusion, this final consummation. There is a big dividing line between those who are saved and those who are lost. I believe with all of my heart that Christ gave this, "Behold, I come quickly." I believe he gave this for those who do not yet know God. And you know why? Because right after this fitting conclusion, right after this final consummation, he gives a fervent call. A fervent call. Look what he says in verse number 17. He said, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." He gives a fitting conclusion, a final consummation. One of these days we're going to see Christ in all of his glory. But in light of that fact, he gives a fervent call to those who do not yet know Christ. What is his call? Come. He said, who is the invitation to? If you're thirsty, he said, come and drink of the water. The question this morning is, if you're in here under the sound of my voice, is there anything inside of you that's thirsty? Is there anything inside of you that's just lacking? When you lay your head down at night to try to go to sleep, is there just something that you know is lacking on the inside of your heart? What does Christ say here? He simply is calling out to you, come. The Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. In the last several years that I was able to work at Corning, several times I had to go to Texas, several times I had to go to Chicago, several times I had to fly out to New York. Several of those opportunities I sat for a long time at the airport. I'm one of those people, if they tell you to be there an hour before your flight, I get there 2 hours before my flight. I don't like the thoughts of getting left. And many times I would be sitting there in the airport terminal and I would watch flight after flight leave. And I don't know how many times I have heard this, but it always struck a note in my heart. Sometimes they would just give a general call, gate A18, United flight to Chicago, we'll be leaving in 20 minutes. Sometimes they would get all the way down to the end and they would say, for example, if it was me they were waiting on, they might say, gate A18, United flight to Chicago, passenger Hodge, flight will be leaving in 5 minutes. And I'm just going to tell you, it's just the way I am. I would be sitting there sometimes and, man, I'd be pulling so hard to see that person show up and get on his flight. I wanted so bad to see him get there before the plane left. I guess that's just how I'm built. But you know, I thought about this where the Lord himself said, and the Spirit and the bride say come. You know what I believe with all of my heart? Those of us who are awaiting final consummation, we're awaiting Christ to come back and take us home. I believe with all of my heart, every one of the redeemed are right now just saying, I sure do hope they'll just come home. I sure do hope they'll come home before the gate closes and this thing wraps up. That is my heart this morning. I sure am praying before the Lord comes back for the redeemed, that those of you that are thirsty, those of you that have something in your heart that you know is missing, that you'll just find you a place in an old-fashioned altar and bow down. Thank God, who is he asking to come? If you're thirsty, that is the only prerequisite, is if you are thirsty this morning, he is saying, come. As we sing this song, if the Lord's dealt with your heart, you feel like you need to come, bow in this altar. This altar's open. My prayer is, if the Lord's spoken to you, as we all stand all over the congregation, if the Lord's spoken to you, you just come.